When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
And I hope you folks are feeling good out there, and I hope you're dry wherever you are at, and I hope you're driving safely and slowly if you are out on the roads. If you're not out on the roads, perhaps you might want to just stick around wherever you are at for a little while if you can do that, because it's very nasty out. If you are heading out, though, please take us with you, and if you're staying wherever you are, please keep us there with you as well, because you are listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer, and once again, we dearly thank you for being with us tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. We are live. I am Christopher Hart in the studio. Lair Adams is last seen floating down 434 in his van, but he'll be here shortly. Nostradamus will be here also later on in the show. We are up on Ustream.tv thanks to Lucas Paris and his head cam. So if you go to Ustream.tv, type in American Adversaries, there I will be, and you will be able to see Lair when he slides in here shortly. Nick LeCicero is on the bridge tonight, so we're in good hands, and hope you enjoy the show. And we are coming to you live tonight once again from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, go to my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, and give him a call at 407-678-3399. In the second segment of the show, we're going to have a bit of an abbreviated first segment so we can spend a little bit of time with Dan Peterson of the Coalition for Property Rights in the second segment of the show, because he has to leave us at 5:30 give a presentation that he's given in Sebring tonight. We're going to be talking about Amendment 1. One reason why I want to talk about that with him tonight is because the absentee ballots are already beginning to go out. So, in essence, early voting is pretty much starting. So if you want to vote by absentee ballot, you can go ahead and get that absentee ballot. I think we need to start talking about some of these amendments that are going to be on the ballot. And Amendment 1 has to do with setting aside money from the dock stamps to buy up land in Florida. That's why we're going to talk to Dan Peterson about that. And I think it kind of fits in with, as I called it, the clown convention going on in New York, which is continuing today, both inside the UN and outside. Of course, outside you have the climate change protesters, the global warming crowd, in the fanatics, if you will. And God bless them. I mean, you know, I suppose you set aside their liberal arrogance and liberal hubris. I guess, you know, they're trying to do what they believe to be right. And if they truly are paranoid that we are destroying the planet, well, then I suppose I expect them to stand up and say something about it. I just wish they would have some facts and common sense and reason on their side. But it is fairly comical to watch and listen to them. From the unknowns right on up to the well-knowns, including Al Gore and Bobby Kennedy Jr. I don't know if you've heard the clips of this Bobby Kennedy guy, but it sounds to me like he's been sucking on some helium or something like that. He's got a real strange-sounding voice. But anyway, they're up there protesting because we're not doing enough about climate change. And, of course, they've got it all backwards. First of all, human beings are a benefit to the planet. We are a part of the ecosystem. We didn't come from some other world or some other universe or whatever you want, you know, some other plane of existence. We were born of this planet. We are a part of it. It is a part of us. We are in a symbiotic relationship with this planet. which means a beneficial relationship, mutually beneficial. It provides for us, and guess what? We provide for it. Is that such a hard thing to think and actually begin to understand and believe? To me, it's easy. To me, it's harder to believe that we are somehow alienated from the very nature that produced us. I don't know. But that's what they believe, so bless their hearts for it. But don't vote their way and don't believe them. Pity them. Pity the fool, if you will, as old Mr. T used to say on the A-Team. Real quickly, though, before we do get to Dan Peterson, I just want to comment. Barry finally bombed Baghdadi last night. Not Baghdad, Iraq, but Abu Baghdadi's military installations inside Syria. They made a big deal out of it, out of the White House last night. And it was a big deal because, of course, Barry Obama is loath to do this sort of thing and use the military might of the United States to bring about a more peaceful world. And so hallelujah, a little bit late. But nonetheless, at least they've put something in action. They did have to tell the Syrians that I hope it was more in the way of a warning, like we're coming and you better not do anything about it. It was probably more like we're coming and please don't do anything about it. But nonetheless, they did alert the Syrians that there would be some action taken within their borders. And of course, Assad's only too happy because, ISIS is is his main foe right now. Thanks to the fact that the so-called, Western-oriented freedom fighters are decimated, and because we didn't arm them in the beginning, and it's just so complicated mess, Barack Obama finally gets, to the party and lights up some ordnance and put it where it needed to be put a long time ago. So hats off to the American military and American might. And even though I don't believe they actually flew alongside us and bombed targets like we did, at least there were in the air some of the air force of some of the Arab countries, five countries, in fact. So there is a bit of a coalition, not nearly the size of the one that either Bush had. But, hey, it's Barack Obama. He's a much smaller man. So I guess we should expect much smaller things, right? All right, but you can expect big things for us because Larry Adams just walked in, and we are still live. 407-774-8255. Coming right back at you. All right, folks, if you are out on the road again like REO Speedwagon, please slow down, take it easy, make sure your headlights are on, and just give yourself some extra time to get where you're going because
it's horrible.
It is horrible and nasty out there. All right, but right now we have Dan Peterson. He's been on the show before, great guy, and plays a mean guitar too. We'll get him to tell where he's going to be this weekend. But Dan Peterson is in Sebring tonight. He is a member of the Council of Coalition for Property Rights, one of the founders, and you can find them at proprights.org. And tonight we're going to talk Amendment 1. Dan Peterson, I hope you're high and dry.
I'm high and dry right now, but I'm not outside, so that's okay.
All right.
By the way, that website is the proprights.com.
I'm sorry, .com.
That's okay. Don't want people to go to the wrong place.
All right, proprights.com, Coalition for Property Rights. You can go there. You can find out all about Amendment 1. You can find out all about what Coalition for Property Rights does and get signed up with them so you get regular alerts. First of all, Dan, give us an overview of Amendment 1. I mean, this reminds me of the global warming crowd. It's got all this feel-good stuff about save the planet, conserve, and all that sort of thing.
Well, that would be pretty true. Amendment 1 calls for the next 20 years, taking one-third of all our dock stamp transaction fees. Those are the fees that you and I or anybody pays when a real estate transaction takes place. So that's homeowners, businesses, we pay dock stamp fees. It calls for taking a third of all of that money for the next 20 years and using it for the purchase or the acquisition of more conservation land. So that's a long time to lock us in, and that's what that money is designated to do.
How much do they think that would raise over that period of time?
Well, according to a lot of this was funded out of a Washington, D.C. group called the Conservation Campaign, and on their website, what I picked up was they estimate this will generate over 20 years $18 billion dollars. That's a B, $18 billion to play with.
Okay. So what does the money that is the dock stamp tax go for now?
Well, I think there are four or five designations. Originally, it was set up so that this would pay for affordable housing. That was a big concern, and the realtors worked with that a lot. There are also a number of environmental programs currently being funded. So it's going to be kind of an interesting thing to see if this were to pass, what happens to all of those good programs that are being funded right now.
That was what I was leading to. They're going to have that many billions of dollars hole in their budget.
And maybe they're going to have to just do with a third less. I don't know.
I highly doubt that. No, what's going to happen? See, part of the persuasive argument, if you will, for people to go ahead and vote for this is because it's not a tax increase, folks. We're taking money that they're already collecting, and we're just going to redirect it to buy land and conserve land. It's a great idea.
Oh, you won't even notice it.
Yeah, but the agencies that are getting that money now are going to go back to the legislature and demand more. And guess what? They're going to cough it up.
Well, and let me just point out one thing that a lot of people aren't thinking about. As more and more land, say in any given county, is purchased and placed into conservation and under government control, it is taken off of the tax rolls. And so that means that there is less private property to tax in any given locale.
Yeah.
That means less tax revenue, and that's the tax revenue that funds the things in local government, such as education, schools, road improvements, maintenance, all infrastructure, all kinds of things. So you could say, oh, well, this is not a tax increase, but it's going to lead to a tax increase because every local government is going to have a choice somewhere down the line. They're either going to have to cut back their local budget, and we know what's going to happen there,
right?
Or they're going to have to raise the taxes on the remaining private property.
Yeah, it's almost in sort of a way kind of like SunRail. Oh, don't worry about it because the federal government's going to, we don't have to put any money out now. But later on, you will have to put some money out because it's going to create a deficit down the road. And that's exactly what this is going to do.
Yeah, Dan, let me ask you a question. Has anybody explained to you why this might possibly help create jobs in any way?
Well, in fact, you know, it's funny. I've spoken about that a little bit to some people. In a sense, think of it this way. It'll create more jobs. It'll create more government jobs because if you have more conservation land out there, if you're going to maintain it, you're going to need more people to maintain that land. You're going to need more equipment. You're going to need more material to take care of all that stuff. And so
not to mention the agency that'll have to spend the money.
Well, it basically grows government because you're going to be required to have more employees on the government payroll, and it's going to be more expensive because not only do you take land off of the tax rolls, so it's no longer contributing anymore, but now we, the people, have to pay for that land to be maintained.
Right. How much Florida land is owned by the government already?
Well, that's an interesting thing. Already in Florida, more than 27% of Florida is already in conservation. So that's more than 1 in 4 acres. And if you add in things for like government buildings, government facilities, places like that, that number goes up close to, almost 1 in 3 acres already owned and controlled by government.
Yeah. And tell us what, and I heard you on Carl Jackson's show Saturday morning. Great job you guys did. Tell us what happens when you push the envelope and what happens in Utah.
Well, in the state of Utah, that's a very interesting case study because 87% of their territory there is owned by the federal government.
87%.
So when you only have 13% of your tax money that you can use for those things that I mentioned, like, you know, schools and roads, et cetera, they actually get subsidies back from the federal government. But, it puts the federal government more in control of their budget.
Right.
Than that state itself.
It makes them dependent on the state, too.
Exactly.
Well, then I heard a congressman speak on this, and they were frustrated. Not only can they not get that land back, but the federal government doesn't do a real good job at maintaining those lands. So things, you know, it becomes things like fire hazards and off limits to people, things like that.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Their idea of taking care of it is just to leave it alone.
Yeah.
And not maintain it, which it requires.
They don't want conservation land. They want literally wilderness.
Yeah, absolutely. And it all, I always get a kick out of it because they think they're getting back to the Native American ways, you know, where they lived with nature and stuff. Little do they know, the Native Americans cultivated this whole country. They burned, they had controlled burns. They tore down trees that they didn't want and cultivated trees they did want. Yeah, oh yeah, they lived with nature as they went about changing it in their own way.
That's right.
You know, it's part of working with the planet.
Yeah. And I think most people don't realize in Florida, number one, that the 27% of our land is already in conservation. But, you know, we're still, the legislature is allocating literally millions of dollars every year to the Florida Forever program. That's not stopped.
Oh, no.
And so it's not like...
Yeah, this is in addition to
conservation land, and it's not like we have stopped purchasing conservation land. It is out there.
Right. And as Lara was saying about Utah, you know, once we give up our property, you know, we're at the, you know, the whim of the people who own the property, basically the state. So as we give away our property rights, we give away all of our rights, don't you think, Dan?
Well, and Arthur Lee was one of the great colonists and founders of our nation, and he said that the right to property is the guardian of every other right. And when we deprive people of that, we deprive them literally of their liberty.
That's right. And that's one of the first things that they did even before we founded our nation. When the pilgrims and all came over here, they discovered that personal property, people owning their own piece of land and cultivating it and trying to, you know, derive wealth from it, that was the way to go. And that's what our country was built on even before the Constitution.
Yeah, but if the government owns all the land, then the people are dependent on the government every bit of their property, their existence.
That's what we're talking about here.
But there are those who would like to see that happen. So that's why, you know, I think, you know, more philosophical issue here is the fact of do we want a private but a special interest group that has one agenda. And, you know, if I could go through the list of all the environmentalist groups that are behind this, it would take more than the Saturday show you guys do, or Sunday show.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a really key thing. We want to, you know, the legislature is designed and set up constitutionally to work with the executive branch in crafting an annual budget that has to be balanced and has to address all of the needs of our state. And our state is diverse, and we have diverse needs. And so that's why it's good not to put part of Florida's budget into the Constitution. We want our elected representatives, those who represent us in the legislature, to be up there seeking to find that balance and seeking to meet the broad scope of needs, just not the needs of one special interest group.
There you go. All right, so Amendment 1, we want to vote no for it, right?
Well,
By the way, you were talking also, and I want you to add into this if you're not going to already do it, the 7% solution.
Well, my point is this. In Florida, it takes 60% vote to approve an amendment to the Constitution, and that means that 40% plus one would
defeat
that thing.
Right.
So I think any conservative-minded person is going to look at this and look at the potential consequences and think, that's a very liberal amendment. There's no conservative philosophy in that particular thing. So that's 30. That is generally agreed to be 33% of our voters right there. Well, if 33% understand this, it means we only need 7 more. This is not some huge project that seems to be insurmountable. We have on our website an analysis on the PropRights.com website, lower left-hand corner, an analysis of Amendment 1 along with the full text of Amendment 1. And I think it really helps people if they will just go to that website and look at that and read it and pass that around to as many people, because education is very key in making this vote.
Yeah, I agree. And the way that amendment is written, it is inviting you, you know, to, oh, please do this. You know, you want to save our drinking water and all these great things. But, of course, it doesn't, you know, tell you about the rough other side of it.
Yeah, and I would say any forward-thinking Floridian, you know, we want to protect our water and our land resources. There's no argument with that.
And we're doing that.
But we don't want to write an $18 billion check and put it in somebody else's hand and say, you know, have a shopping spree here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, though, Dan. There are a lot of people who do want us to do away with our property rights. They think that that's at the root of what makes us the evil nation that we are. And they're marching up in New York probably right now as we speak on this radio show.
Well, we were founded on property rights, and actually the government, you know, gave the initial land grants to people to encourage private property
right.
ownership, and that is what has made us the exceptional nation we are today. I would say that, and our freedom of worship and our freedom of speech, and not to get into Second Amendment rights, but that's a big part of that. And
yep.
So there are those who have a totally different philosophy. They want public, they want land to be owned by the public, which means the state.
Yeah, yeah. It's those first things that make us who we are. It's the Second Amendment that we back it up with.
That's true.
Real quick, Dan, I want to change the subject. We only have about a minute. In the Orlando Sentinel today, they're talking about Orange County wants to replace about 350 or so septic systems along the Wakaiva River with the sewage systems. We've seen this nightmare mm-hmm. before, haven't we?
Well, and I was at the one of the big town hall meetings where they had that, and again, I think the St. John's River Water Management District wants to put $4.4 million, taxpayer dollars, into that project, and they are going to put on sewer system 380 homes out there. It's in the Sweetwater area, West Orange County.
Yeah.
They claim that this is going to make a huge, not them, but the Orlando Utilities Commission, who is working with them, say this will make a tremendous change in the nitrogen pollution going into Wakaiva Springs. The fact is, they have no idea what they're talking about
right.
because no one has still studied what is coming out of a septic system 24 inches below those
right.
those drain fields.
And where this has been tried before, it didn't have the results that they planned on.
Well,
so,
and it probably won't because
yeah.
those systems work
but,
pretty well. Although,
but
you know, again, I'm of the opinion, let's look at it and see.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but they may be wrong too. So before we throw $4.5 million at a problem that may or may not exist, let's go do some simple testing. It's not that hard.
All right.
And do something that may be worse for the environment.
All right. Great idea, Dan. Thanks a lot. That's Dan Peterson. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you when you get back to town. Coalition for Property Rights, vote no, Amendment 1.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com with a little taste of the medicine brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. There's a cute little article today at Soundbite talking about Joe Biden. That's right, our vice president stuck his big old foot in his big old mouth again. Check it out. Here's another new phrase for you folks to write down and remember. Family glitch. Family glitch. That's G-L-I-T-C-H. Family glitch. What is the family glitch? Well, it has to do with Obamacare. For about 2 million families, 2 million Americans, they fall in a situation where they may not be able to afford Obamacare because of Obamacare. That's right. If one of the members of the family gets insurance through their work that does not pay for the rest of the family, the rest of the family, regardless of their financial situation, will not qualify for the subsidies that would make it possible for them to get the insurance. Thank you, Obamacare. All right, the CIA is finally gearing up against ISIS as well. You'll find a great story at Soundbite. Also this, Navy SEAL Carl Higbee says on Greta Van Susteren that about 90%, he believes, of the military does not like the Obama policies, especially. They do not think that they are productive, nor do they think that they will do any good. Also this, John Kerry lectures Code Pink. That's right, folks, this is priceless. He lectures Code Pink for being pacifists. That's right, the old pacifist Kerry himself. Another speech that was given that you probably haven't heard anything about by Petro Poroshenko, the president of the Ukraine. He came and spoke before Congress with an impassioned speech that any great American president might give and implored the United States to live up to its promise to protect the Ukrainian territorial integrity. Seems like that promise has already been broken. SoundbiteRx.com. We'll be right back. Welcome to today's episode of The Dumb and the Feckless. The true story of the Clintons and the Obamas, once again today, as told by Edward Klein in his brand new book, bestseller, Blood Feud, The Clintons versus the Obamas. I pick up where I left off yesterday. We had just heard how Hillary gave Chelsea advice on how to get pregnant, which she now is expecting a baby. When the two women returned, Chelsea went up to her suite of rooms, which her parents kept exclusively for her use at Whitehaven, and changed into party clothes. A light green cashmere sweater, a black skirt, and black pumps. Oh, yeah. The Clintons' Filipino housekeeper had set the food on a table in the dining room. The buffet consisted mostly of vegan fare, although there was some barbecue for the unreconstructed carnivores in the group. As Chelsea's guests arrived, they were welcomed by Bill, Hillary, and the three family dogs. Seamus, an arthritic old chocolate Labrador that could barely stand, a poodle named Tally, and Massey, a stray puppy adopted by Bill. The guests drifted through the living room, which was hung with abstract Vietnamese art, including a painting of Chelsea and Hillary wearing traditional Vietnamese conical hats made from bamboo and dried leaves. French doors led to the sunroom with its large rose tarlo velvet sofas. Bill made a point of talking with nearly all the guests. He paid particular attention to some of the younger men and women who appeared to be left tongue-tied by the presence of the Clintons, three of the most famous people in the world. Chelsea acted as hostess. Recently put in charge of the family business, she helped her father run both Hillary's nascent presidential campaign and the Clinton Foundation, which had changed its name from the William Jefferson Clinton Foundation to the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation. The main object of the gathering was to give Chelsea the opportunity to introduce her parents to some people she wanted to hire in New York City to work at the foundation, which had recently moved its headquarters to the 42nd floor of the Time Life building on the Avenue of the Americas. Chelsea is positioned to take over the foundation when Bill can no longer run it day to day, said one of Hillary's closest friends. He's been taking care of himself and seems pretty strong now, but he has problems with his heart. Chelsea will also play a big role in Hillary's campaign, this friend continued. With her dad's guidance, she is almost certainly going to be in daily control. She knows the family business in and out. She's become a wizard at politics because she's been an apt pupil and loves the nitty-gritty of it. Someday she may run for office herself, probably for a House seat from Manhattan. But Bill and Hillary are torn over that. They'd be thrilled to see her in office, but Hillary says politics is rough for a woman and that you're treated harsher than a man in many ways. Tune in once again tomorrow, folks, for more of The Dumb and the Feckless and more about Chelsea Mezvinsky. Once again, folks, thanks for joining The Dumb and the Feckless today, brought to you by Vacation Travel Planners. Don't forget, it's never too late or too early to plan your next vacation, and they make great Christmas presents, Hanukkah, whatever. And don't forget, go to Vacation Travel Planners to get the best deal. Yeah, and Thanksgiving cruises and all that. Great deals. 321-251-4777. Talk to Mara Lee at Vacation Travel Planners. 321-251-4777.
I mean, what do you do on a cruise anyway? You eat all the time. What do you do on Thanksgiving? Same thing. You eat. So, yeah. Hey, just do it on a cruise. You get to go, you know, see some cool things.
Yeah, that's right. Nick, could you try calling Nostradamus? He's trying to get through and can't seem to get through. So, all right, we're going to try to get Nostradamus on the line. He will be with us tonight. While we do that, I just want to take a moment here to talk about a couple of events coming up this week. One we've been talking about for the last few days, True Life Choices, 31st Annual Banquet. You need to hurry up and get those tickets. There's only a couple of days left to be able to do that. They are $42 each per person, or you can sponsor a table starting at $325 going up. That's a table for eight, and it's going to be at the Florida Hotel at the Florida Mall, Florida Conference Center. And True Life Choice, of course, provides sonograms and counseling for women who are pregnant and considering abortions. and they have a great, they have a tremendous, something like 98% success rate getting women, once they see these sonograms, to go ahead and carry the baby to term. And as Lair said last night, most of them then go on to keep the babies. And so it's a great cause. TrueLifeChoice.org is where you can get the tickets. That's TrueLifeChoice.org, or give them a call at 407-255-2944. 407-255-2944. So give them a call or go to TrueLifeChoice.org and get those tickets. We hope to see you there. It'll be Friday night, this Friday night at 7 o'clock.
And, Chris, I'll bet that Planned Parenthood doesn't tell the prospective moms that after having an abortion, they may not be able to have children afterwards. I bet that's a little something they just don't pass on to them.
All right, so help us out. Go to TrueLifeChoice.org. Also, tomorrow night, we're going to have a great guest. His name is David Wood. He's going around. He speaks out against the Islamic extremist threat. He'll be speaking Thursday at 7 o'clock at Doc's Streetside Grill. That's on South Orange Avenue, right across from the Orlando Regional Medical Center. And his topic is current ISIS atrocities. Is this the true Islam? So David Wood will be with us tomorrow night. And don't forget to catch him Thursday night at Doc's Streetside Grill. And then this. Pastor Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father. Pastor Cruz is going to be in town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You'll be able to see him one, two, or all three of those days. Friday at 7 o'clock at the Eastmont Civic Center. This is being sponsored by the Greater Orlando Tea Party. Eastmont Civic Center, right there south of 436 on Ronald Reagan and Magnolia there. You take Ronald Reagan south, about a half mile to Magnolia, where the baseball fields and all are. Friday at 7 o'clock, you'll be able to hear and meet Pastor Rafael Cruz as he speaks. Then Saturday, that following day, at 7 o'clock, he's going to be speaking at the First Baptist Church of Mascot out there. So that's out there on West Colonial, out west side of town. Mm-hmm. So First Baptist Church of Mascot, 7 o'clock Saturday, and Sunday, 6:30 p.m. at the Aloma Church on 436 in Winter Park. That's Pastor Rafael Cruz. So I hope you'll get a chance to get out and see one of these folks. And finally, this is not this week. One last thing, though, this week is Honor Flight.
Oh, yeah, Saturday night.
Saturday night, Honor Flight. You'll want to come out and join us at the Sanford International Airport around 10 o'clock. Try to get there a little bit early because it'll be a festive atmosphere, be a band playing. We're going to be welcoming back the Honor Flight, 74 World War II vets and their escorts, and it'll be a great time.
And so I think it's due back about 10:15, so you're right. They need to get there a little bit early.
Yeah, you want to get there a little bit early and you know, hoo-ha around with everybody a little bit. And then finally, this is coming up on Saturday, October the 11th. This is the Florida Family Policy Council 9th Annual Policy Awards Dinner. It's going to be held at the Rosen Center Hotel down on International Drive. You can get tickets online by going to flfamily.org. That's flfamily.org. Or you can give them a call at 407-251-5130. That's Florida Family Policy Council and flfamily.org. Once again, their phone is 407-251-5130. All right, I see Nostradamus is having problems with his phone, so I'll just go ahead and go on. And
if he'd just pay that bill every now and then.
Muddle through as best I can. First of all, there was an article in today's Orlando Sentinel, page A2 at the bottom, entitled, Poll, : More People Dismiss Division of Religion, Politics. And this, it points out what an interesting, I'm going to add it to my perverse rule of politics, perverse rules of politics. And I don't have time right now to go through them all, but it found that when you have a conservative, at least when it came to the Bush administration versus the Obama administration, when Bush was in office, people wanted to expand the boundary, if you will, between church and state. So with the conservative in office, people wanted to expand the boundary between church and state. In other words, have less church influence on the state. With Obama in office, it's the reverse. So with a Christian conservative in office, people wanted less of religion in politics. With a liberal in office, they want more of religion in politics.
I can see that.
Once again, a good reason to give Obama a big old kiss if he ever comes into the studio. It's a poll that talks about a bit of the fluctuation, but most of the fluctuation comes from people who are believers. People who are non-believers, obviously, and most liberals don't want religion in politics now, today, anytime, ever. But other people are a little bit more open-minded about it and vacillate over it. But of those people who don't think, and by the way, 72% of people now think that religion has lost its influence on American life, and they think that that is a bad thing. And I certainly agree with them. And a lot of it has to do with various institutions capitulating, including Orange County, who was capitulated to these atheists up north who created the big old fuss down here about chaplains for the football teams. Well, they can still act. Life coaches can still act as chaplains, but only if a student or students request them to. In other words, they can't have an official position, which they should. I mean, this is ridiculous. The kids don't have to attend it, but many of them will and want to. So it just makes it harder. But hats off, and this is one of the stories I wanted to talk about today, hats off to the Tennessee Volunteers. The president of the University of Tennessee, and let me pull up his name right here real quick, has decided that he is not going to bend to political correctness, if you will. And let me just see, Chancellor Jimmy Cheek responded to people demanding that the Tennessee Volunteers stop their pregame prayers. He responded by saying the pregame prayers are protected by the U.S. Constitution and will not be silenced on his campus. Quote, the university will continue to allow prayers before university events. More power to Jimmy Cheek, and we need more people like Jimmy Cheek with the cheek to stand up against these people who want to drive some of the things that make America great out of our society. You cannot expect good things to happen when you undercut the foundation of our very culture and society, property rights being one, religion in our culture being another. These are all very important ingredients to get us to where we are today. And, by the way, pulled the rest of the world along with us. This is one of the worst things about this climate change crowd. They basically want everybody to go back and live a couple of centuries ago and not have the luxuries that we share, that we enjoy today. Mm-hmm. Because if we do what they want us to do...
And we should feel guilty for
right,
them.
Right, exactly. If we do what they want us to do, all of us who have things would have to do with less, and those who don't have things would never have any chance of ever having it in the future. And that has been the greatest thing about capitalism, is not only has it produced tremendous wealth, but it has spread it farther and more evenly than any other system that this human race has ever produced that we know of.
And liberals cannot stand the fact that the middle class was growing. It was becoming the biggest class, or was the biggest class in this country. But no,
because
it has to be the poor and the wealthy.
Because they'll be the biggest polluters, because they're the most people, you see.
Yes. We'll be back.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Welcome back to the show, folks. No, you're not listening to Hee Haw. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660. The Answer, it's Drive Time.
And that was me going country.
We are live, and yeah, you can believe that. 407-774-8255. That was some bumper music that Nostradamus sent over to Nick to load up for us, having to do with a story that was revealed in the Wall Street Journal today. The NLRB, that's the National Labor Relations Board, you know, that board that has the illegal members on it, according to the Supreme Court, because of the recess appointment and all that stuff. Attorneys at Holland & Knight Law Firm note a disturbing NLRB trend of condoning profanity and insubordination among U.S. workers. Yeah, you can take this job and shove it. They're warning employers about a pattern of board decisions that attack sensible, long-standing management standards of conduct. In other words, the NLRB is siding with people who are complaining that they got fired for using foul language and such at work. You would think that the NLRB, you know, being of a politically correct persuasion, since they're basically being run now by a bunch of liberals, that they would, you know, not want politically incorrect language being used, vulgarity.
Yeah.
However, because it's, you know, employees using it against employers or around in a work environment, it's okay. So the bigger enemy here is not the vulgarity and people being offended by that. The bigger enemy is the offense of people actually running businesses. Yeah, that's right. Corporations and business people. They are the bigger villains in that story. I hope
we're still on the air.
Yeah, we just, if you just lost us for a second there, we think we just got struck by lightning or something anyway, because we got a snap and a crackle and a pop. So anyway, we're going to continue the show. The Treasury, with everything going on, the Treasury has made a significant move. This is sort of the executive order type stuff, even though it didn't take an executive order, Barack Obama. All it took was the good old IRS. Yeah, that IRS rewriting some of the tax code. All right. This is a sweet way that the bureaucrats have of writing more into a piece of legislation than previously.
That has nothing to do with it.
Right. Has to do with the inversion deals. The most famous one is the Burger King one, where the donut company in Canada, and I forget the name of it right off the top of my head, but basically Burger King has allowed them to be taken over by this company, which, by the way, is being financed by Warren Buffett, who stands to make a whole lot of money on it, tax-free.
Not Barack Obama's buddy.
Barack Obama's good buddy. That's right. He, he's going to pay taxes, if he does pay any taxes on it, at a much lower rate than he would otherwise, because he's helping them invert, if you will, basically moving the corporate headquarters out of the country to take advantage of lower corporate tax rates in other countries. This has nothing to do with the profits that these corporations earn in this country. In other words, the profits that Burger King earns in the United States of America, they will be taxed at the same rate they've already been taxed at. But the profits that they make in their stores in other countries will now be taxed at the lower rate. And they can bring that money and use it. And what the Treasury Department has done via the IRS is changed five rules that will make that less of a viable option for corporations to do. Basically, what corporations have been doing is what everyone does. Take advantage of the tax laws to lower their tax burden as much as possible. As I've said on the show many times, I prepare taxes for 30 years for conservatives, liberals, libertarians, and people who didn't give a hoot. But one thing that they all gave a hoot about, and that was paying the least amount of taxes possible. As a matter of fact, the liberals they were more likely to come to me with what I would call scheme in order to get their taxes even lower. And I wouldn't go along with it normally. And what I would normally say is, look, this to me is tantamount to lying. And you can lie to your wife, you can lie to your kids, you can even try lying to God, but you better not lie to the IRS, because they'll make you doggone miserable when they find out, and they will find out. But it gets back to, once again, this is the liberal approach. All right, here we have a situation where corporations are leaving the country, and we don't want them to do that. We want corporations to come to this country and to be based in this country. We want foreign corporations, instead of buying our corporations and taking them over there, we want them to come over here. So what the liberals do is they punish people. See, this is always the solution with the liberals. It's always the solution. That's what's wrong with prohibition and a lot of other things. The liberal solution is always punish. Punish the people. Look at the global warming crowd. What do they want to do? They want to punish us. Why? Because we're destroying the doggone planet. That's why. I mean, what better reason could they have for punishing people, right? That is always their solution, and that's what they've done here. When a far more effective solution is always give people an incentive to do the right thing. Lower, in my opinion, better yet, eliminate the corporate tax and watch how much the money will flood into the United States and into, by the way, the government treasury, the coffers, because there will be so much more economic activity driving it. This is just ridiculous, and it's basic economics. But that's the problem with the liberals. They don't care about basic economics. They want things the way they want them, and no matter what. Oh, it wouldn't be fair if we didn't tax the corporations, which is utter stupidity and idiocy.
They have to be punished for being so big.
But the corporations, you cannot tax an entity that passes that expense along to you. We are the ones who end up paying the taxes. And any fool who doesn't understand that probably should have his checkbook and wallet taken away from him. Everybody pays the taxes via the corporation. The corporation doesn't pay a thing. It's not capable of it. Only human beings do. And the human beings who buy from that corporation pay, guess what? All of the expenses and their profits. That's just the way it works. Unfortunately for the liberal mind, that's real hard to soak in.
You mean, Chris, if they make the widget for 25 cents and they sell it for a dollar and now it's going to cost them 27 cents, they're just going to still sell for a dollar. They're not going to sell for $1.02. Which is because, folks, he's right. It just gets passed on every tax. That's every tax.
In any business, every expense gets passed on.
Oh, no, not the income tax.
Otherwise, the business won't be there very long. All right, but we'll be back tomorrow night. Fear not that,
folks. We're out of time already.
Rain or shine, we will be here live at 5.
Man, I tell you what, I even gave myself extra time today, and I'm still kicking myself because it's just the traffic was horrible.
Yep, there'll be days like this.
We do need the rain. Folks, American Adversaries, we are here 6 days a week, 5 to 6 o'clock, except on Sunday when we're here 5 to 8. And that's when maybe you should listen sometime. Forget about watching TV that night. American Adversaries.
Tune in tomorrow for David Wood. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM 660.